So in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, there's just a detail, which often when we hear these readings, I think the details can kind of go over our heads. But this is, I think, quite important. Paul is in Antioch and Iconium. He's preaching and teaching. They don't like what he says. They take him outside of the town and stone him. So then his disciples gather around thinking that he was dead, right? And what happens? He gets back up and goes back into the town. That is the last. I mean, if I got stoned, if he dragged me outside of this chapel now and stoned me outside in the car park, the last thing I would do if I survived it would be to get back up and come right back in. But that's what he does. I mean, that's that drive, that passion, that conviction, that courage that he had, that even something as violent. I mean, people standing there throwing stones at you, it's an awful, it's very deliberate, and everyone is involved. So not only is it like, you know, one guy takes you outside and cuts your head off, but there's a whole gang of people who hate you and want you dead. You know, there's an atmosphere created by that. Can you see what I'm kind of saying? You know, I mean, like if a whole bunch of people want you dead and are willing to actually take part in it by throwing stones at you, like that's a horrific atmosphere to be in. And that's what he goes back into. Okay. So he goes on then to preach and teach elsewhere. Won't go into the details. You won't remember the names anyway. But then he comes back to them. So after, on his way back from other mission trips, he comes back to them. And this is what I wanted to hone in on today. Having preached the good news elsewhere, he comes back, and then he puts fresh heart into the disciples, encouraging them to persevere in the faith. Fresh heart, perseverance. And then goes on to explain, we all have to experience many hardships before we enter the kingdom of God. We all have to experience hardships before we enter the kingdom of God. So he experiences success and rejection there in Antioch and Iconium. There is a community of believers there, but there's also a lot of adversity. He lives with profound courage and selflessness, and then comes back to that community to give them new heart. Now, this is what I wanted to focus on, just that idea of heart. So courage and heart. We've said this before, but I think it is important for us to hear over and over again, because in this world there is a lot of adversity and hostility towards the faith. But heart, the word courage means the heart to act. The heart to act, right? Cor agire, to have the heart to act. And we see what it's like then when you're discouraged, when your heart is taken from you. You just kind of sit there lethargically and go, sure, what can I do anyway? You know, sure. Sure, I'll never be anything anyway. Sure, nothing is ever going to improve anyway. You know, and you're discouraged. The heart is taken from you. You have now no heart to act. You're just surviving and dragging yourself through life. But sure, look, it was never really meant to be any better, was it? Should we all have to die eventually, I suppose? You know, you see how that discouragement just permeates a person's heart, and then their whole life is just a shell of emptiness and sadness. So being discouraged is a serious problem. Obviously, it's a highway to depression, maybe worse. But what we're speaking about here in the reading is to be encouraged, to be given new heart. And this is something that you and I are supposed to be missionaries of. You and I are supposed to be people who encourage, who give new heart to others. We're preparing now for a parish mission in Clonmel, and part of our role or responsibility there is to give new heart to the faithful there, right? To give new heart by our singing, to give new heart by our service, to give new heart by our smiles, to give new heart to other people. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to do, and it's actually much easier to do than you think. How do you encourage someone? A couple of simple ways. To be honest, an awful lot to be said for a big smile. You know, that's one of the advantages of being a youth missionary, especially as a young person, a big happy smile can actually encourage someone, whereas the opposite can do the opposite. You know what I mean? Someone says good morning to you and you go, morning. see how it just sucks the life out of you. You know, when someone reacts to a good morning with a, yeah, is it morning? Yeah, I suppose morning. Do you know, it's just, it discourages instead of anger, instead of giving life. Okay, now obviously that's a superficial thing. But, you know, our smile and our joy comes from within. Someone said to me recently, I think one of our retreatants from over the weekend, that they said, well, they love seeing this exceptional joy in you. All right? This exceptional joy in all of you. Right? Because that's, it gives them hope. It gives them heart. Okay, so to encourage, to give heart, as opposed to discourage, to take heart. Something then which I'm not sure if this is particularly Irish, but I think it might be slightly more common in our culture, but it's a complicated one that we haven't a whole lot of time to get into, but the idea of self-deprecation being okay. Like we Irish, I think we, but okay, it's a self-deprecation that we think is okay as long as people don't agree with us. Okay, so it gets complicated. So you'd say like, oh, sure, I'm the worst in the world. I'm awful. Oh, stop it. I'm terrible. Sure, I couldn't do anything right. Right? Which we will say. But if anyone says that to us, we'll eat the head off them. Oh, you couldn't get anything right. You know what I mean? You know, you're the worst in the world. How dare you? Even though it's what you just said about yourself. So it's complicated. But the idea of putting ourselves down being okay, because at the end of the day, sure, who am I harming? It's only me. So I can be a bit harsh on myself, can't I? Or I can be a bit disparaging on myself, or I can discourage myself, can't I? Because at the end of the day, like it's only me that's being affected by it. Henri Nguyen, in his book Life in the Beloved, he makes a very interesting statement. He says, self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Interesting. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. So it's not just an optional extra, a bit of side salad or sprinkles on the top, but like it's the core of our very existence. You are the beloved, loved into existence. God, who is love, looks at you and cannot look at you with anything but love. And the great sadness of our time is not knowing that, not living from that, not believing that. And believing, like, and this is like, this is where we have to be careful. You know, I don't want to like make people who feel discouraged even feel even worse by accusing them now of listening to the wrong voice. But we have to be really careful who or what we're listening to. If I'm discouraged, then the enemy comes along and sees that weakness, that gap, that wound in my heart. What do you think he's going to go for? He'll go for the weak spot. And he'll say, yeah, you're pretty mediocre at best, but sure, look, you'll be okay, I suppose. I mean, you know, eventually someone might love you. Although, even if they don't, I mean, what difference does it really make? You know, and just these little lies that get planted, that no one really cares, no one will really miss you, you don't really make a difference. You know, but sure, look, I mean, at the end of the day, sure, maybe this is as good as it gets, you know, so it could be worse, I suppose. And they're just these subtle serpentine semantics that absolutely destroy a person's heart. So we have to be very, very, very careful that if we are feeling a little discouraged, do not listen to the voice of the accuser. We have to. We must choose. And this is our choice. We're not like leaves in the wind here. We do choose who we listen to, and we choose who we act from, or what voices we act from. We choose what influences us. So we have to be careful here. Even though you're feeling discouraged, you still have a choice. You still have a choice. So do we choose to listen to the discourager, you know, the prince of this world, the accuser? Or do we choose to listen to the voice of the Lord that says, you are my beloved. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. I will not leave you orphans. In this world you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Whose voice are you choosing to listen to? Are you choosing to listen to the voice that calls you to sit on your own and isolate? Now, a bit of time on your own is okay, don't get me wrong. But to consistently isolate oneself and sit there thinking about how bad life is and how hard things are and how lonely you are, sitting there in this kind of dead-end, dark tunnel. Or do we choose to sit with the Lord and bring our hearts, wounded, broken, sad as they are, to him, the source of all life, source of all love, source of all healing? What do we choose to do? I mean, you are actually in control of your legs, most of you, okay? So you choose where you walk. You know, you can actually decide, hey, legs, let's go to the chapel. And they actually have to obey. I'm not sure if you've noticed that, right? So then you actually have to go because you've just told them to go, so they'll go. And then you spend some time here with the Lord and take out those scriptures. I mean, Google it, use your phone. Google promises of the Lord, New Testament, promises of the Lord, Matthew the Gospel, Gospel of Matthew, whatever it is. Google some of the good stuff. Learn a few of these verses by heart. Repeat them to yourself that you can hear and listen to over and over again, the voice of truth. And stop listening to the other voice, please. Stop. Stop listening to the discourager. Listen to the Lord. And like plant those words in your heart. Plant them deeply in your heart. Those words of truth, those words of promise, those words that tell you who you are. Your very identity is a son or daughter of God. Do not let that just be given away cheaply or easily without a fight. I don't care how discouraged you are. Sit there and receive. Right, it's like sunbathing. Just sit there, just receive the love of the Lord, but don't go sunbathing with a duffel coat on. It's just pointless. Coming into the chapel with this big defense up, and then you leave the chapel saying, yeah, well, I suppose not even adoration helped me. But sure, look, I suppose I was never really meant to be helped, was I? Sure, we all have to kind of die. But it'll be okay. At least someone got something good out of it. You know? And like there we are, like with the Lord, in his presence, with a barrier up. And again, we wonder why things don't change. And we wonder why adoration gives us no life, and mass gives us no life, and prayer doesn't change anything. Let the guard down. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Let us not give in to self-rejection. Let us open our hearts to the wealth of grace, restoration, healing, life, rebuilding, forgiveness that's available to us from the Sacred Heart of Jesus.